The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
Coming up on this week's episode, a disclaimer, we're no happy. Defeat at Dens against Thistle as Partick come to Dundee and turn over the Dark Blues. Dundee bounce back with a win against Cove. We will look at the D-Archive as always, but that's your lot. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the newest episode of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host, Danny Smith, and with me, as always, Paul Gray.
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Not got much enthusiasm, yeah. Mate, in a week where we could have been 1 point ahead of the league, we find ourselves 2 points behind.
So, what an intro.
So, if you think your intro a good, happy, cheerful recording, turn it off now.
We'll see what happens. I've kind of came on with like the attitude, like, eh, it's a win. But come the end of it, I might be like, we're fucking winning the league.
Yeah.
More than likely.
So we will rubber the Partick game because we didn't want to speak about it that much, but we will speak about it after the Cove game. So, Dundee go up to Cove for only the second competitive league game in the history between the clubs. The Cove had a 100% record against us. Obviously, they've only played one, so. But Dundee went up, done the business, and came back with 3 points. It wasn't a spectacular display. It was a hard-fought win. Paul's whispering it was shite. He could
awful.
Very well be right, to be honest. But at the end of the day, we got the win. And after Tuesday, it was imperative that we did get the win, regardless of what happened on the pitch. As long as we had the most goals nestled into the back of the net by the end of the 90 minutes, that's all that matters.
Right, that's your last nestled. That's your first and last one. No more. No more. Like, everybody you speak to, and even Boyer and post-match and press and whatever, going, they needed a response after Tuesday, and 100% they did. But see, for me, like, again, that Cove, that's a team we should be beating. We should be beating them comfortable. So for me, yes, yeah, a win, clean sheet, woohoo. But I'm kind of like, right, next, please. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think every fan wants a good performance with a win, especially after what we were served up at Dens Park a few days beforehand. So it's hard to get motivated after that, and then after watching the game, I know that we still won, but it was still kind of hard to get motivated. One eye was on the Morton Queen's Park game more than the Dundee game half of the time, because also we needed them to slip up.
Yep.
And they did, thankfully. But, Paul, all I'm looking at now is we got the win. Let's try and kick on for this. Let's try and stop this horrible form that we've started since the turn of the year. And let's really just try and kick on with this season and try and win this league, because we're doing everything possible to not win the league and hand it to other clubs.
Oh, mate, bang on.
Because even looking at the game on Tuesday, that brought Partick Thistle right into the title mixer again. Well, it could have been the other way, that we were 9 points clear of them. And looking at just between the two-way battle between us and Cove. But now we're looking at it could be a wee four-way. I mean, or even a three-way.
Could be a five-way.
I mean, that might tickle some people's fancies, but on the football sense, I didn't really like that much.
No,
too many,
neither
too many
did
bodies.
Far too much. Too much going on. Like, whose turn's it now? Oh, it's ridiculous, it's mate.
The common problem of Fisums.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's enough.
Is it my turn yet?
Sat in the corner.
You tap on the shoulder.
I'll be ready soon, mate.
Excuse me.
Like you said, you know, about going on about just getting wins. Yeah, fine, fair enough. Yeah, but I genuinely wasn't convinced by Saturday. I wasn't convinced by the performance. I wasn't convinced by the tactics. I just, that's it for me. I just wasn't convinced. And I think a lot of people have probably been saying that for a lot of the season, that they've not been convinced with certain areas of the team, management, whatever. But, and I've been like, no. But after that on Saturday, I mean, I'm always jigging after a win. Absolutely jigging. But I'm just, I don't know. It's weird. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. Not feeling it.
I feel a bit worried, to be honest.
I think that's pretty much bang on, because on that kind of performance coming up against better opposition, you're going to get an absolute doon. Like I don't know what it was. There seemed to be about 20, 30 yards between Robinson and any other Dundee player, which for me was quite concerning. Like, I just couldn't really string a good few passes together, and it's just this long ball hoof hitting Hope kind of came through from the Partick game whenever we got the ball, which was pretty rare like against them. But I didn't see
where this long ball's coming through either, because most of the season we've played the ball on the deck. We've played it really well at times. Sometimes it's been exceptional. I mean, you look at the goal against Riff in the Wee Diddy Cup.
Yeah.
Fantastic goal. That's what we've got and we're team to do. But to see the last couple of games resort to, like you say, hoofing it up the back.
It's hitting Hope, mate. It's just hitting Hope. And that, for me, there's no like, right, guys, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. But if Boyer's thinking, right, long ball is the plan, there needs to be somebody playing off of Robinson. I mean, Robinson does exceptionally well. Exceptionally well to hold up the ball, wait on bodies coming. He delays his pass, but the delay to his passes, it's boys are just going to go through him. It's giving them more time to fucking take the ball off him or just put him in the air. Like I said, there was copious amounts of times during that game, there was about 20, 30 yards between Robinson and a Dundee player. Tactics were shite.
The tactics that are being played are ones that are easy to pick up on and nullify, to be honest.
Yeah, easy, 100% easy to defend against, mate. Yeah, bang on.
Let's put it this way. Dougie Imrie, in his first full season as a manager, and then Chris Doolan, who is, I think it was his third game in charge, had us doing to a tee because of hoofball. And that is a worrying aspect for me. The fact is that two managers whose careers in their infancy have outclassed our team and manager.
Mate, nail on the head. Absolute nail on the head. We are so easy to play against. Mm-hmm. I know we'll probably speak about the Partick game, but I mean, look at the possession. Like, bloody hell, it's unbelievable. You
know, look at the bookings as well. Like, exactly. Soft as shit. Like, I mean, I know bookings really didn't mean much if you look too far into it, but the fact is that we've been played off the park in two of the last three games, and but didn't seem to really trouble anybody. You know, even just a bit of oomph about it and kick a boy up, kind of out of frustration. It's just, I don't know. I'm feeling that we're lacking the desire. You see teams that are pressing Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
And they're up pressing, they're chasing. But then when it comes to us, there's no high tempo. There doesn't seem to be any eagerness to run and close down the boys up in their defence like they are doing to us.
Yep.
And it just feels like we're waiting on the ball, getting the punting back up the park, or a player running at us.
Hoping for a wee luck. That's what it seems like. You know, just hoping that something comes off. Mm-hmm. Whereas it should be like, this is, guys, this is the way we're going to do it. If that doesn't work, go to this plan. But it's no, it's just punt it up to Robinson. He will control it. He will fucking keep the bodies off him. But then it's like, or, well, see what happens, guys. See what happens. It's fucking hopeless. And I'd like, you hit the nail bang on the head. I was trying to get the word, but I am worried. Because on that, those two performances this week, last week, whatever, we're no one in the league.
No.
And not at all.
We will struggle to get to the playoff final. Even to the playoff final. Because the teams that are sitting third and fourth are the teams that have just outclassed us.
Mm-hmm. Look at the form as well. You know what I mean? Park are on a great run. Morton on a great run. Fuck even Hamilton. Obviously, they're fucked anyway. But, I mean, these teams are going on great runs. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of just trudging along.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating. Really frustrating. That's one of the first... That Park was one of the first games I've walked out of before the end. You know what I mean? It was just fucking awful.
From the first minute, that was just... You just knew that Partick were up for this game and we won it. I know there was a couple, and it seemed to be the same thing for them most of the game. Was it the boy Tiffany or Mullen would run down the wing and cut in? All the time he would cut in and cause problems, and we couldn't see that. They'd done what they did on the first game of the season at Dens.
Yep.
And that worked a treat, and it's worked a treat again. We were absolutely shambolic in that game.
But we'll no doubt speak about that later on.
I know. We're using up all our shambolic phrases and all that too early.
But it's really frustrating, mate. It's hard
not to go back doing that, speak about that while we're trying to speak about a win. But it's hard. It's been a... And you know, some people might turn around and say, oh, you're just being boo boys of that. It's no, we're generally worried that... not that we think, we're not showing... From that, a team that's going to go up is showing, or who would show. It's a tough end. It's a tough end. How do we change it? We've all got our different views on what players to play and what positions, but I don't think we'll see that. I mean, Burns just turned into, he's in no man's land again.
And he's gone, I'd say.
And half of these games, it would be, it'd be the type of games that he would be all over. He doesn't set up goals. He doesn't push forward that much, but he stops goals. He stops play happening in the midfield, which...
You're right, he stops attacks. He puts boys in the air, and then it fills a gap in midfield. And constantly this season, I wonder how many times I've said it, it's like there's a huge gap in our midfield. There is all the time. And it's just as that teams are just going to go... We'll press up against Dundee, get on top of them, and they'll shite it. And that's what it looked like on Tuesday against Partick. They just put us under pressure. They won the second balls. They were winning the first ball, for fuck's sake. We don't have that. We don't have that. Like, if we don't get the first one, get the second one. Get in about it. We just, I don't know. We just didn't hear that about us. And it's worrying, mate. And that should probably be the name of this pod. Worried.
Can be called a lot of things, to be honest.
Fucking wow. Anyway, Cove, come on, let's just, yay, the win. Woohoo!
Lyle Cameron got his 9th for the season.
Oh, wow, mate, honestly. What a player, like, yeah.
For the past few games, he has been, in my opinion, the choice of defensive midfielders has left him exposed for a creative player. Yeah. We just spoke about Sean Byrne. I feel Sean Byrne being in a position would protect him better than the players that are in there just now.
Yeah.
Because he's not performed the best as what he could, but that's not an individual critique. That is like a whole collective team.
Yeah.
Because he needs the players around him to help him out for him to be able to do what he does. But he's still trying his hardest and he's still getting in there. And like you say, a goal to settle the nerves just before half time.
Mate, that was exactly it, because I know fine well, see if that... Obviously, I wasn't at the game, but I watched the whole thing as it unfolded on the television. But see if it was 0-0 half time. I guarantee I probably would have heard the boos for Cove. Mm-hmm. It was... that goal was kind of like, right, fine, okay, yeah. Cool. Good time to score. It was an absolute screamer of a deflection. honestly, fucking, what a goal. Just looked into the net. It was class. It was class. Mm-hmm. I think it was going in anyway, man. It was going top bins. It was top bins, like, pure shit. Anyway, but if we hadn't... the worry would have been even more that how's this team going to come out and actually just go for it? But I think the goal kind of settled a wee bit. And then, to be fair, I think we kind of just kind of controlled it a bit after that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did have a few chances beforehand. We header from McGee. Was it a fantastic cross from...
Hannan.
Yeah. And
yeah, like, I thought he was looking no bad. Like, a lot of people concerned that he was starting after his performance against Partick, but like, he did a good job.
I noticed he was on Twitter after. Did you see that?
Yeah. Fair play, man. Fair play. Yeah. Man, we're giving it out, man. Fuck. God knows what we'd do if they gave it back. Shite.
I'd probably just shut down this podcast and gear up and... Yeah.
Select all, delete.
Yeah.
Nah, but see like that with McGee, for me, I think that's why he's like in the team like week in, week out, when people probably don't think he should be players ahead of him. I'm kind of in that boat, like, but he does that thing where he just kind of ghosts into the box, you know, looking for a header, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But yeah, nah, good ball, good chance. Could have been more, yeah, but I mean, 2-0, yeah, fine, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yes, part-timers.
You kind of hit the nail on the head with McGee, because like you say, on Tuesday was awful, awful performance, and he got a goal. But I don't think there's many players that we've got that would sit back in midfield, but also make darting runs into attack. So you think maybe that's why Boyer keeps him in the team? Just
I think that's it. I think it's because he's got an injury. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. got an engine about him, and he'll finish first every time. He will complete the bleep test before everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's just got an engine about him, box to box. But it's for me, like I was talking about with Robinson and having somebody playing off him. I know folk will say Jakubiak and that, right? Cool, fair enough. But if we're talking about midfielders, like an attacking midfielder, for me, that's Cameron. And then if you've got Williamson and Byrne sitting behind him, that, like you says, that frees up, you know, Cameron to do what he can do best. Mm-hmm. I don't think McGee's that player.
No.
It's McGee's not that guy to sit behind Robinson. It's just, no, a big fan. Like I says, I left early and I just, like, at the part of the game, and I just heard Mark McGee for the Tannoy as I was going down the Provy Road. And I was like, what? Man of the match? You having a fucking laugh? And I checked my phone. It was like 2-1. I was like, for fuck's sake.
I'd be thinking somebody's having a laugh as I said Mark McGee got man of the match as well.
Well, Mark McGee, yeah.
There's no one here that makes me mistakes like that and you're quick to pull me up.
Sorry, mate. I'm not on form tonight. Eh? I'm not, I don't know what it is. Like I say, as a win, I'm pure like, yes, come on. But this one, I'm just move on.
Could you not bring some of the enthusiasm that you got for your Arsenal winning into this podcast?
Nah. It was a great weekend of football, mate. It was. Like I says, I think I cheered Morton's equaliser more than Dundee's goals, to be fair. Good old big Dode Oakley. What a guy.
But Lee Ashcroft got himself on the score sheet.
What a goal.
A really, really good goal. Mm. I was just looking at Graham Smith, he had the message in the chat that we were in from the Glasgow D's, saying that there was boys behind the dugout giving Billy Barr, Billy Barr was telling Williamson to go short, and boys were shouting, one boy was shouting, it's no on. Williamson takes the ball short, throws it over, and Ashcroft scores. Barr celebrates, comes over a few minutes later, and they'll be listening to you again.
Brilliant. I noticed that. See, like, cause it was one of those ball tracking cameras, and obviously when it was in that corner, you could like see other fans literally pure like feet away from the dugout. So I'm not surprised anybody was giving them suggestions and whatnot. But what a goal, man. What a goal. Straight off the training ground. Brilliant. And fair play to Williamson, because the boy was on him. I wouldn't have thought it was on. I would kind of be like, what are you playing at? But you've done brilliant to get to the byline and whip it across. Class.
Williamson's one of those players who we have missed his spark in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching him on playing a few games ago. I would have had him on against Partick. I think Partick had two defensive midfielders on the field at him.
Yep.
You know,
kind of summed up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we should really be going for it. But you know what, Paul? We got the win. At the end of the day, that's what the team needed more, I think. I know that I said good performance along the way wouldn't go amiss, but
yeah,
it's a win. It's a clean sheet. It's a place that we got played off the park, really.
Oh, God, before.
Yeah. Mm. And results elsewhere did go for us. So
another thing, I was wanting to touch on this. Like, fair play to Bowyer. He made his subbies at about 65 minutes. Well done, Bowyer, well done. But I just don't understand this. Like, it's like he just doesn't want to play Jakubiak and Robinson together. I don't get it. Like, see, for me, I would have put Jakubiak on and with Robinson. Go for another couple of goals. You know what I mean? Get the goal difference up a wee bit. I don't understand the reluctance to play them together. When they came on, you know, against Cove and like at Dens and ripped them apart in 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand it. And I'd love somebody to try and maybe, you know, explain it.
It's definitely a Laurel and Hardy moment where your left's scratching the top of your head.
Hmm.
Thinking, well, they produced that, like you say, against Cove. How have we no tried to replicate it?
I didn't get it. I genuinely didn't get it.
It looked like they had a wee bit of magic there. Mm-hmm. Let's start sprinkling it over the games.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It beggars belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange one. I don't get it. If they boys are combining well, then play them in the games. Give them more actual game time. Like game time together, competitive game time together, they're only going to get better. But it's a weird one. And I know people have been questioning Bowyer with subbies and all that kind of stuff, but that one I was just, maybe saving Robinson for, you know, like bigger games, probably. But I mean, for fuck's sake, we've not got a game for another 2 weeks. Just put the two of them on, see what they're like. It really fucked me off, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So we've moaned about it already for the first 20 minutes, despite saying we're not going to speak about it to begin with. It'll be the Cove game, but let's speak about the Partick game.
I think the less said about that game, the better, mate. Definitely, the less said about that, the better.
It's the first time I've actually said out loud that I've got my not suspicions, what would the word be? My thoughts weren't positive about Bowyer.
I know what you're trying to say.
It's always been there. We've had a really good League Cup campaign at the start, and then we hit the league, and we kind of started to begin with, and then obviously we found our feet. But I've always kind of went back to then, and I'm thinking, is he kind of underestimating a lot of the Scottish game? And then obviously the run of form since the start of the year. And then I've back in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I didn't ken. Not that I'm saying I should be out on his earth, punted or anything like that. I'm just, you know what, I've got my doubts.
I've got my doubts as well, mate. I've kind of always been in Bowyer's corner and like, you know, he's new, he's inherited these guys and blah, blah, blah. We'll need to wait and see when he brings in his own guys, da, da, da. But his own guys have came in and the tactics for me are just fucking nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows fine well I hate long ball football, but if you're going to play it, set it up correctly. I mean, obviously I'm no football manager. I've come to accept that now. But if you've not got another body within 20, 30 yards of your target man, then what's the point? That's mental.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just have a wee swig of beer and then let's go off on one, Danny.
You know, a lot of people have been saying that.
Dundee world to write.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have been saying that. It's a league that's probably one of the weakest in a very long time.
Yep.
And we're sitting 2 points off top.
Mm-hmm.
When we've had games in hand, have we done what we had to do? would be a point. And even then, you then look at the points that were dropped against the teams at the bottom.
I'm sitting agreeing with you, Danny. Nobody can obviously see visually what we're doing, but I'm just sitting nodding my head here with you. Continue.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
No, keep going. Keep going. It's everything. It's just maybe I've been blind or oblivious to it, but for me, that's everything you've just listed there only points to one person.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I just hope he gets sorted out, because obviously for that 10 games before the winter, the wee winter break that we had, the couple of weeks off, it was looking like he had turned it around. He had my best team playing, my best players coming on, and even if people were getting dropped, like there was somebody coming in and the shape wasn't getting changed. There was nothing drastic, and we were still getting points on the board, but it just seems to have went
Pete Tong
tits up.
It's went absolutely ski whiff. And I wasn't going to touch on it, but the article or his quote in the paper where he went after the Partick game, where he says he thought he'd missed something, like something happened over the weekend. Was there some in-house fighting? But there wasn't. I don't understand why he's even came out and said something like that. Because see, for me, that arouses suspicion and going, there's no smoke without fire and all that cliche pish. That to me was just, why have you said that? And then Ashcroft in the paper as well, getting interviewed, brilliant interview as well, going on about after the game in the dressing room, there were words, put it that way. You know, there were words. I mean, you kind of expect that, but maybe I'm putting two and two together and getting five, but for me, someone's gone Pete Tong there, like, big style. But that, maybe I'm just reading into it too much. Maybe I just like the controversy, I don't know.
I think with the kind of results that have shown up just recently, and obviously the interviews, it's hard not to put two and two together and, like you say, I think come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, see the Partick game. See, if you're an outsider and you'd never seen Dundee play or Partick play and you came to watch that game, you would think that was the first time that the Dundee players had played together. There was nothing. There was no game plan. There was no ideas, no cohesion, whatever way you want to word it. They just looked like they didn't have a fucking ding-dang-do.
The amount of misplaced passes was unbelievable. And one of the main defenders was Maguire for me. He just lost the ball countless of times in that midfield. But then so did everybody else. It was just horrible game, horrible performance, and even like shittier result, because it brought Partick back in. If we won it, we would have went a point behind, because also we drew against Inverness, went 1-1. So obviously in people's minds, we're going to beat Inverness, then we're going to beat Partick, that would be our top of the league, and then we continue it for there. But obviously that's the dream that the fans had for that period of the games.
It was, it might have been a dream, but it was kind of bordering on expectation as well, because that's an important 7 days of football, you know, like a week of football for Dundee with three games, and you've come out with 4 points. Do you know what I mean? It's...
Minimum should have been 7.
At least, mate. At least. I feel there's two opportunities missed there. But the Partick game was an absolute shambles. Mm-hmm. And like you says, loads of misplaced passes. They were pressing us. But that's all teams have to do against Dundee. Just press them. Press Dundee. And the absolute shit it. there was too many mistakes all over the park. And like he says, I think you might have said it, there was no kind of fight and whatever, but you could see in the second half, Cammy decided to, like, right, fuck this, I'm just going to go. Like, and he was having a bit of digging, having a bit of fight about him, and then he gets volleyed in the coop and through that fucking Brian Graham.
Oof, yeah.
Cammy, I mean, the only guy that I thought actually looked like, right, come on. I mean, he was having a pretty poor game again. He was getting ripped apart, like, but he was determined. But the others, I don't know, it didn't look like a team. It wasn't a team, it was a squad.
who had never thought that this team were looking to close the gap back down to a point at the top of the league.
Exactly. Silence.
Because I'm starting to remember that game. I'm getting flashbacks. It's like people getting flashbacks of Nam.
Make out my head. Just the way you say that. Like I says, I left just before Maguire had scored. I was like, they'd got the second. Graham was giving it big licks. Shouldn't have been on the park. I was like, you know what, I'll get a few more minutes, see what happens. It didn't change. Nothing changed. There was nobody on that pitch going, right, fucking come on, eh? Let's get about them. There was nothing. So I was like, fuck this, I'm off. And then, like it says, heard McGee for the tannoy. And I was like, couldn't believe it, he would be man of the match. And then, honestly, see the cheer for their third goal. I thought we had equalised. Genuinely, the cheer was loud as anything at the bottom of the Provy Road. But then, obviously, checked the phone, 3-1. Fucking ridiculous.
You should have... The cheer for the actual Dundee goal wasn't that loud anyway. It's like the performance had, like, festered into the sport because... I jumped up and cheered, but I turned around half of the stand, hadn't I? And we're still, like you say, what was it, 10 minutes to go?
Yeah.
And there's still a chance of an equaliser. No, that was showed on the pitch as a chance, but 2-1 was always a chance. Obviously, yeah. That quickly got kicked in the nuts and went up and scored the third goal straight away. But you know what I mean? I think the whole support were deflated purely because of the performance as well. And also being 2-0 down didn't help. But honestly, when scored, got up, cheered, and actually felt like, well, I was in the minority. I'm looking around, thinking, I better sit back down again. Nobody else is really getting up for this.
Well, you must have been, mate, because like, I was sat at the front with Jake for the Densmore Choir. What a guy. And I just left, walked out, obviously walked past the shop and then into Provy Road. I never heard this anything for me to turn around and go, was that a goal? It was actually the tannoy. It was the tannoy announcing John McGee that made me go, what? And then a text from Jake going, well done, Paul. You know what I mean? Like, what? No wonder mate, that doesn't surprise me. The good old Bobby Cox.
hey, leave him out.
I'm only joking. But it was like the booze at halftime or something else as well. But I'm rightfully so, because if I had a hat to put on it, that was our worst performance of the season.
Mm-hmm. We had a few new boys sitting around us. Obviously, it was one of those bring a friend tickets to the game. And there's obviously a lot of boys that you've not seen sitting there before. So they obviously took in the game. Probably didn't go to the football as much. And first 15 minutes, they were like, oh, this game's the worst game I've been to. And Martin Torch sits in front of me and his brother Stephen. And we turned around and was like, I've seen worse. But then the joke was on us because we just gradually got worse and worse as it went on. And it turned out to be one of the worst displays that I've probably seen at Dens.
Horrible performance. Absolutely horrible. It was like, what did Boyer say in the press? Atrocious. No, I think there's worse for it than that. Shite. Yeah.
This is where you're missing Paul McGowan being in this team, because there would have been another Paul McGowan rant in the press at the end of the game.
I mean, there's no player in that team I think's even got that in them.
No.
Missing that. I mean, okay, Gouser might not be, I don't know, maybe his legs are done. He's not probably the most technically gifted. I don't fucking, runs a bit like headless chicken at times. But anyway, but at least he's somebody that is going to get you going. Like, come on, let's head up, come on. But it's just, I just find it mad. Like, the boy Tiffany, nobody was on him. Like, he just had a free run. He was all over the pitch. Why is nobody just going, come on, mate, boom. Studs down the back of the ankles. Fuck you. You know what I mean? There was nobody. Nobody in the team, I think, has got that soft
mean streak. Mean streak on them. Yeah.
Yeah. And we need that. You want that. Like a fucking, like a number eight in the centre of the park. Anyway.
The first goal was comical. Head tennis. Before it fell to Brian Graham, who slotted it home.
Yep, and then the second goal.
Second goal is even more comical, just purely because they were defending. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought leaving a number nine striker of another team would cause so much, cause a goal.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? Like, who's setting them up for the... I mean, that's great. This, you know, the scored a wee training ground goal against Cove. Well, hey, woohoo, wee corner, nice wee setup. But what are they doing at defending? Because when I played, surely it was always like, right, mate, you're the biggest guy. Mark, their biggest guy. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're the weeest guy. Go in the post. Like, how many guys were on the... How many Dundee players were in the box there? Dens Park Choir put it out and the number did. I'm sure it was like six Dundee players and not one of them was marking a guy. They missed a header for the wee dink in and then Brian Graham's at the back post. Thank you very much. See you later. Get it right up your Bobby Cox. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it was. Fucking calamitous.
Fantastic choice of word.
That's it. Just honestly, abhorrent. Honestly,
the third goal was just that summed up the night,
mate. I didn't even look at the goals until
didn't bother looking back at it. You'll just get me even more annoyed.
No, mate, I didn't look at them, and I was going to say that, but just to keep up the authenticity of the podcast, I watched the goals. And McGee's goal was pish. It was a fucking tap in for about an inch. Fair enough, he was there. Fair enough. But then Tiffany just goes through. Easy, easy as you like. Couldn't get the words out there. Need a wee bit of lubrication here, sorry.
But
I can't stand him, that wee Tiffany, but he's a player, like.
I'd have him in my team.
He's a player. He just runs about, like, just give me the ball, goes on dribbles, plays 1-2s. He's a cracking wee player. But we made him look like bloody messy. Somebody needs to just go through 2 foot of him, Oh, God.
A couple of bad displays and Paul's advocating violence on the football pitch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to see the fight. Even if a boy loses a ball, but he's trying his fucking hardest to get it back, you'll cheer them. You'll keep them going. Come on. Mm-hmm. Keep going, son. Keep going. But there was nothing of that. They just, like I says, a ball come to a Dundee player. They were right on top of them. We lost it. That was that game. That was the part of the game in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we did have the ball, we never strung a few passes together. And I think in the end they had something like 65% possession or something come the end of the game, which summed up.
That's that for the away team at Dens. If you know the old firm. Oh, fucking
mate,
hell.
I'm sure that I'm positive the old boy, I phoned him when I got back to Fruzy, just for a quick pint, and then he was like, I checked the kind of like the first 10 minutes, checked on the app, and it was like 90% possession or something. He was like, something's wrong here. That wasn't it.
No, something was wrong on the pitch.
Exactly, that was working fine, mate, but it was fucking what was happening at Dens. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot. I'm just really annoyed. I'm really fucked off with the last three games. I really am. And I just, Boyer, get the fucking finger out, mate.
Mate, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. You're right enough. We just said that about Henry doubts about if he's able to actually get us over the finishing line here. But at the end of the day, he's got my full support because he needs the full support. We're going to be critical about him. Yeah. All we like, but we're not here shouting saying, oh, get him fucking out and all that. No, we're not. We're just saying, look, there's things that have happened quite a lot that are costing us like points and wins, like changing formations from and keeping formations that only work in and oops, sorry.
But how can we see that? How can we see that?
Mm-hmm. I know it must be something that happens on the training pitch that you must think, it's clicked, and then when you've went onto the actual pitch for a competitive game, it's not happened again.
I can't quite put my finger on it. It's just really frustrating, but coming down to the long and short of it, it's worrying.
Mm-hmm. As much as it seems like we are trying our hardest to throw this league away, I've still only 2 points off the top of the league.
Yeah.
It's no all done and dusted. Like the results at the weekend, Inverness won 2-1 against Ayr, which again done us in the good stead. Patrick
Frissell. Couldn't believe that result, actually. Yeah.
Ayr were 1-0 up at one point. So Patrick Frissell won 3-0 against Rafe. So like we were saying, that's
a great result.
Right back in this league. And then we had Queen's Park, who were 2-0 up at one point. And George Oakley, was it a double from him?
Yep.
Oakley, was he? Yeah. And he got a double to share the points at Oakleview, which made it that we were only 2 points behind Queen's Park come the end of the day. But if we got the win that we were hoping to get on the Tuesday, we'd have been a point ahead of the league. It's all ifs and buts. It's what football is all about, isn't it?
Mate, see, when it was 2-0 Queens, I was thinking, that's Dougie Emery just laying down because he hates Dundee. But see, when the second one went in, all I could think about was, Dougie Emery fucking loves Dundee.
Somebody in Dundee must have gave a wee Bruno envelope and says, right, get yourself down to Stemmy. Go pass that to the dugout to him. Tell him to get his finger out.
Yeah, what? I couldn't believe it. Like I said earlier, sounds really bad, but I wasn't joking. Like, I celebrated their equaliser more than Dundee's goals, because I was just kind of, obviously I was expecting Dundee to win, but I wasn't expecting that come like half-time 2-0 down. I was like, fuck, that's that. Game over.
I think that's where the lack of enthusiasm is coming, is that we were expecting the win. We had to win. So
yeah,
we got the win. It wasn't like, if it would have been different if it was like 5 or 6-0, you'd be thinking, fucking hell, turned that around, haven't we? Like, hopefully we can continue this. But like you say, we kind of trudged along, got the win, but also seeing Morton come back to draw 2-0, I picked up your spirits for that.
It did, mate. It certainly did. And then Rhys Nelson getting the 97th winner for Arsenal. Sorry. It was just like, yes. And then it was like, yes. Brilliant. And then Aberdeen pumping United. Brilliant. Great weekend of football, honestly. It was absolutely tremendous. Like,
you just all these wins as an excuse to have a drink.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. But yeah, the lack of enthusiasm. Do apologise, listeners, but it was just, I'm still fucked off at the last two games prior.
Yeah, I'm the same. I found it hard to shake off the Frissell result, which hopefully does shake off soon, because also we've not got any game this weekend.
Yeah.
But we return to action against Frissell at Firhill. So it's a quick turnaround in home to away games with that one. And
we'll no doubt do a build up for that. But see, for me, you should just fucking sit them down in the room, big TV on, and just get them to watch the 90 minutes. Just watch the 90 minutes and then individually go, what did you do well? And then go, well, you're wrong, because you were shite. And then explain to them why they were shite. I'm just hoping, like with Ashcroft coming out and saying there was clear the air, you know, things in the changing rooms and that. I mean, I hope that just means, right, let's fucking do this. None of that pish ever again. That's it. Line in the sand. Done.
Yeah. Let's get out there. Let's just get the money against Cove and then,
Win, just anybody that's in front of us, win it skillfully, kick them in the air, do what you want, just win. There's, what is it, 9 games to go now? What, 10 games? What is it?
9.
27 points still to play for. Come on.
The old cliche, 9 cup finals. It's 9 cup finals for a lot of teams in this league, top and bottom, but it only matters to us at the top. Also, we won't be back in action until the 18th of March. Ayr United are on Scottish Cup duty on the 11th, so that game got postponed. So we won't look at the Partick game just yet, because Partick will also be playing on the 11th. On the lead-up, though, there's a few games. So on the 7th of March, which is my birthday, by the way, if you want to send a... If you're sending a gift, Paul, just give me a wee heads up.
I'll just send you me in a box. How's that?
Make sure you keep the seat.
Oh, okay.
Might just kick the box to my driveway.
Yeah.
No water on that.
Oh,
but the fixtures in between, 7th of March, you've got Morton at home against the Ayr.
A wee draw there, that'd be good.
Yep. On the Friday, I think this one's on TV, Queen's Park take on Cove. Now, I think Paul Hartley made his comeback as Cove manager, and it was against the Queen's Park and the Dennis Park, where I put a wee tweet saying, we are all Paul Hartley today. None of that shit, please, because they ended up getting pumped 5-0, I think. It was 5 or 6-0. I mean, they got annihilated. Like so let's not start like putting out tweets that jinx stuff. Mm-hmm. So just a wee gentle reminder to them to fucking lay off it.
Can I? A wee Cove, I mean, fuck it, I'm just going to jinx it. What are you going to do about it? But a wee Cove win would be ideal, but yes, mate, it's unlikely. It's unlikely. Yes,
Queen's Park are probably going to win that.
Yeah, because I think that could be a doing. Like,
wow. Yeah. And on the day after, on the Saturday, it is Morton taking on Partick Thistle at Capello. Another one that you would love it if that was a draw.
I think that'll be a good game, like. That'll be a good game. A wee draw, a wee Desmond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And obviously the week after, that is us back in action. So, like I say, we will wait to see how results pan out before we decide to go on about how confident we are of going to Frithill and winning.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that. 100%.
Yeah, I think you could see a good Dundee crowd going.
Yeah, I'm definitely going. Like,
everybody will realise how big a game this one is.
Never been there. Like, stay in a hotel nearby and it's a fucking dump, like, but might as well just go. Support the days, come out.
Been a few times. I think the last time I was actually there was it 2011-2012 season, and we won 1-0. It was all Thistle in this game, and then we got a penalty, like 10 minutes to go or 5 minutes to go. Matt Lockwood scored it.
A repeat of that would be absolutely fantastic.
I know we're kind of going on about performances and all that, but again, I would happily go to Frithill and play horrendous and win. 1-0, OG, off some players, arse, anything.
I'll do.
Yes.
Let's not speak about Parrick, though.
No. We'll speak about them next week. About them next week. We'll know how results have went and where we stand in the league.
I was going to say, hopefully next week we've got a bit more smiles about it.
No, we'll make a promise that I'll be more upbeat.
Yeah.
Because even I'm bored listening to us moan.
How do you make my missus feel? I've been moaning a bloody week. Been moaning since Tuesday, eh? It's a fucking joke.
My missus was moaning at me last night because she wasn't moaning, but she came home. Obviously, she's a United fan. She goes a season ticket there. And so on the Saturday, I put a tweet out saying that I was cutting down a tree in my backs because I'm going to get my garden landscaped. And it was the last one I thought, I'll get this lobbed out. And as I was taking it down, the slat on my fence only had one nail in it. So it came off as I'm holding the tree. And it decides to go over onto the neighbour's fence and into the neighbour's garden. I'm like, I've tried my hardest to get to that tree before my neighbour noticed, but he noticed. But there was no damage, thankfully, and they gave me a saw to help us get out of it. And then I thought, I went and done the shopping, got him, couldn't find my wallet. It's like, fuck's sake. Went back to Asda's, thankfully somebody handed it in.
I was lucky.
And I had all my like my work stuff and all that as well. So, oh no. So let's say it comes in like third time, three things on the trot and all that. I thought, didn't let it be a Dundee defeat. Thankfully it wasn't. But maybe a little bit worse because as my missus went to the United game, I was walking through with my daughter getting ready for bed. She ran in front of me and I kind of jolted a bit and banged right into a lamp that you cannot no longer buy, but it's a set of two and it costs quite a lot. Boom, on the flare.
Oh, you'll be in the doghouse, mate.
She was not too happy. The fact that she just seen her team get pumped and then came home to see her favourite light lamp had been pumped on the flare as well.
Ah, brilliant. Unlucky.
There's been a lot of glue today.
Yeah,
a lot of glue. Not just to the relationship, but to the lump.
Ah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But anyway, enough about my personal life that probably captivated nobody a ton. We're going to move on to the Diaz Cave. So,
yay.
This week.
I mean, what? Yay! That's better.
The biggest cheer of the day.
Ken.
So last week, a lot of
Because
Ken
is nearly the end of the pod.
I basically pummeled loads of videos on last week. I think altogether there's been 29 videos put up, 30 videos. Getting there. So that's only half of the 6 tapes that I've copied. I've still got another fucking 20 plus tapes to go through, but it's very time consuming. But I flung up all them, a lot of them from, I think it's 87 to 89 is most of the games.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I'm coming up to next is 2000 and, to say between 2002 and 2004.
Quality.
And there's a lot of interviews as well, like stuff from like STV News and whatnot. So like Ravenelli, after he signed for Dundee, playing Keepy Ups in the back, is his Dundee house that's probably rented with his kid.
Oh, brilliant.
So there'll be stuff like that. So bear with me, but I'll keep, as soon as I'm able to fling up stuff and keep your attention on the YouTube channel for the highlights, I'll keep doing it. So I think every week I'll try and at least get 5 or 10 videos on the go.
Keep up the good work, sir.
And obviously, like yourself, Paul, you'll be waiting for the 2000s to come up, because you'll know I'll, like the rest of them, that are watching the 80s videos.
Ken. I can't wait to see some of that stuff. That'll be absolutely class.
I can't wait to see the back of it. I've been honest now. It's time good. But it's quite good to get out there.
No, definitely.
Yeah. So, will we just fire in on this day?
Go for it.
Yes.
Cheer what up a wee bit. Go on, Danny.
6th of March, 2013. John Baird and Jim McAllister scored in the 68th minute and 78th minute to cancel out Dougie Emery's 20th minute goal for St Mirren to give Dundee slim hope of staying up that season.
Hey,
I think after this, when John Brown came in the interview and likened St Mirren's season to the Titanic, playing mind games, and obviously we got relegated that season, so it was a good try, John.
It was a good try, yeah.
Just didn't work at all.
Certainly not.
The 7th of March, which, again, on this day, 1985, I was born. Yeah. Not good enough.
Nah, give me some Dundee-related stuff. Oh, I better remember that.
Yep. So, what did I offer the 7th of March, actually?
The birth of Danny.
I've actually lost it. No. Of it. Come on, we'll go with this one. We've got two birthdays on this day. Julian Exebuguren. I butchered that second name there.
Say it again.
I was normally good at saying his second name.
Say it again.
Exebuguren.
Right, okay.
Say it fast enough, there's no spaces in the middle. He turns 32.
Is that it?
Fuck. Yep. Colin Nish also has his birthday on this day. 42. Glad. He looked 42 for 10 years ago.
Yeah, he did. Ah, he was a good player. Julian Exebuguren. Funny.
The 8th of March, it was a 3-1 win at Kilden and Beef. Sean Higgins, Matt Lockwood, Craig Forsyth got the goals. And Greg Stewart got Kilden and Beef's goal.
Ah, what a player.
That was also the game that the club equaled the club record of 19 games without defeat.
Fucking
it was also during the defiant season.
Yeah.
I remember being on that game. Being at that game, and it was absolutely Baltic. Like, it's if you find a tea on their like person at their stadium was probably Minsk, because frozen right off. What we're up to now, 9th of March. This is not like us, it's the Scottish Cup win in the quarterfinals. This game's actually on the archive YouTube, the full game. It's 3-2 against Hamilton. Bobby Mann, Simon Lynch, and Stephen Craig. Obviously, it went to extra time.
Quality. Love it.
Probably the last good run that we had in the Scottish Cup.
Bang 2006 on. Absolutely.
Or so, yeah.
Lifetime ago.
Then we have the 10th of March. 2-0 against Ayr United, 2020. Kane Hemmings, then Ollie Crankshaw. But this would also be the last game of that season before COVID hit.
All right, yeah.
We were on a fine run of form leading up to that.
Seems absolutely ages ago.
Yep. A lifetime ago, actually.
It does. Madness.
Then we've got the 11th of March, 1981. It was a 2-1 win against Dumbarton. All the goals came in the first 21st minute. Brian Scrimmage scored in the 5th minute. John Gallagher equalised in the 16th. And then Big Sinky Eric St Clair scored in the 21st. 2-1.
Days of happiness.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that had another one. Did we all go the way to... wait a minute. We'll go all the way to the 12th of March, don't we?
Well, that's the Sunday.
Yeah. We made a double sign-in. It was the year 2000. Francisco Luna. Remember him? He also signed along with Jose Mesa Pureta.
Never heard of him.
Never played.
Shockerini. Paco Luna, yeah, he was quality. Like, then did he not go Hibs after us?
Yeah. There was Dundee wanting to sign him in the summer, but I think his agent... there was a wee niggle in his ear, and Dundee eventually just went away and bought another striker, and then he ended up at Hibs.
Be interesting if it signed.
I would have to look back on it, but I definitely did decide to go on next week's episode.
You know, like, signed to replace Paco Luna.
When either we like EastEnders, do 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 do.
This has been the best bit of the podcast.
It's 56 minutes in and it's been the best bit. The rest of that's been horrible.
Pure couple of durpus bastards.
I will actually applaud people that sit and listen to this.
Well done, guys, well done. You've made it this far.
But hey, you'll be glad to know that is it. That's the end of this podcast.
Oh, fuck.
I can't wait to banish this one to the absolutely like depths of the internet.
Yeah.
I've not enjoyed recording this at all.
Sorry, mate. That's probably down to me, mate. Sorry.
Be for us. I've not enjoyed recording it.
You've
enjoyed recording it. Yeah. We've got the faith in him, but he's not enjoyed it.
Just come on. Let's just fucking win. Come on, Dundee.
That's it. Let's hope that results in the next 2 weeks go away, mate.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the game against Thistle, there's a chance. There's a chance to be closer to that top of the league.
Yeah. I think there will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, defo. Cannot wait to go.
Fingers and T's crossed. But can only but hope.
Come on!
But Paul, that's it. I'm done. Put a fork in me. Thanks for listening. Honestly, plaudits to you for listening to this.
Well done.
We'll be back next week. We'll all speak about the Partick game. And, well, that'll be it, to be honest, because there's nothing else happening apart from other teams playing. So, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you next week.